episode 136 of Out From The Cube. I'm your host, George Evian. Appreciate your time. Hope you're having a great week. And there's a lot to get into. It's been, it's been two or so weeks since we've put out an episode, and I'm super excited about putting some content out there. There's been a lot going on, having a lot of conversations and consuming a lot of information that I'd like to get out to you all. But first things first, you know, well, I guess this is the first thing as it jumped into mind. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. When you have two young boys that are 9 and 11 years old as I do, and they are into video games, and they're playing Fortnite and NBA 2K, and they've most recently picked up Madden, so they're interested in the football playoffs, and they're starting to understand the rules and the players and who Patrick Mahomes is and all that. They don't play a ton of video games. I do kind of put a small leash on them with that, but they do play, I guess, every day, but not for hours and hours. But when you have two young children that play video games, one of the hardest things to find in your house are batteries that work. So we have scavenged the house for batteries from remote controls and from remote control cars and remote controls for TVs and different things just to find batteries that work for your podcast audio equipment. So you know it's a good day when you have 15 or 16 batteries in front of you and you're going through in every combination possible to try to find two batteries that will work together to record an episode. I think I have three or four bars here on my Zune player for recording, and you just know it is going to be a good episode and a good day when you find two batteries in a house that has many batteries that will end up working together. So, yes, the week is off to a good start. But before we get going with actually the content of the day, and there's so many things on my mind. If you've listened to the podcast, you know we don't know the exact direction it's going to go. But I want to thank, we do have a sponsor actually now for our podcast, and it's one of these things, right? It's like my mechanic. I have a mechanic here in St. Louis I take my car to, and there's literally my car. I have a 2011 gold Town and Country minivan that I cart basketball players around in that is just destroyed and has 180,000 miles on it, and it's nothing. I could go get a new car and all this, but I'm like, man, this gold, beautiful minivan, plated gold, right? Just plated and shines in the sun. It's the most beautiful thing. It's paid off. Why would I ever want any other car than a 2011 180,000 mile gold Town and Country minivan? That is stow and go seats. You know, all the lights are on, which means, which when it's brand new, it shouldn't happen. But after, the 9 years I've had it, I guess, every light's on, which means it's breaking down, but it just, I know what those lights mean, I guess. So why would I ever get a new? So I only trust one mechanic in St. Louis with my car, with my minivan, my gold-plated minivan. And it's a guy here in town. His company is LTS. He is not our sponsor. But if you happen to be in the St. Louis, St. Charles area, this guy's the best. There's nobody better that is more honest than this guy. And so my whole family, I take my car, my brother and my dad and all this, we take our cars to LTS, and there's no debate. That's where we go. And as you probably know, within your life, there's probably only certain people that perform certain tasks for you. Now, what's that have to do with our sponsor? You can find software companies all over the place. I can find a mechanic anywhere. There's probably 20 mechanics that could work on my car in a 10, 15 mile radius of where I live. Probably maybe more than that. But I know I go to this one spot because I trust him. I know they're the best. I know he cares about my car. I know he's going to do me right in something I don't know that much about. I don't know anything about cars. But I know that I can trust him, that I am not just a customer to him. It's like my dentist, right? I love my dentist. My whole family goes to our dentist. It's the only dentist we go to. There's a difference between being a patient and a customer, right? I know that he's going to take care of me, my dentist, and not just try to have charges, right? So I say that. Our sponsor is actually the company I used to work for, and we've stayed very close and tight, and they are continue to support the podcast, and it is Polaris Solutions. Now, I don't have a script to read about Polaris Solutions. All I want to start with our episode is, the sponsor of the podcast is Polaris Solutions. You can find many different software companies in the Midwest, in Chicago, in Denver, in St. Louis, and the other places they go into Illinois and Peoria and all these different places. But I just know this, that is the company, that is the software company that you can trust. They are the best. It's one of these things like, you know, there's good companies and there's great companies. There's good, you know, the book Good to Great, and how you know, there's a whole bunch of average. You draw this bell curve of the 80% and the 10% that are garbage and the 80% that are okay, the other remaining 10%, I'm telling you, Polaris is in that bag. They are the best because first and foremost, they're honest. They care about you, your product, your service, whatever you're trying to build, whatever you're trying to get out the door, they're going to try to make sure that it's done correctly, and they don't pull any punches with it. And I know that because I worked there for a number of years. I don't work there anymore. I've worked there for a number of years, and I just don't know of better people in the industry of building software, developing software, solving technical and product solutions than that company. So if you need to reach out to them, if you want to support our sponsor, please reach out to Polaris Solutions. They're at PolarisSolutions.com. You can reach out to me. You can find Polaris Solutions on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on a number of different places. So just reach out to them and let them know you heard about them through the podcast. So I hope things are going well for you. I hope you're having a great week. This podcast is all about personal development, team development, some technical things, but really try to hang our hat on leadership, teams, personal development, and things of that nature. As you might know, if you've listened to this, I'm going through a bunch of training for the John Maxwell team. So a lot of my notes and content that I'm consuming is really centered around that. But let me tell you this, whatever line of work you're in, everybody's a leader, right? There's a guy that I've never met that listens to the podcast quite a bit, and he takes a lot of notes. And hopefully, if you're listening, is going to supply those notes so I can see them. I'm very interested in the notes that and what people get from this, from our podcast. But right off the top of my head, I'm just sitting around thinking about how juiced I am about the teams that I'm currently leading and how exciting it is. And as I was driving home to record this podcast, I kept thinking about celebrating the wins and figuring out what to celebrate and how to celebrate. This happened last week. Wasn't planning on telling the story. This happened last week. I work out a bunch of kids, as you might know, in the athletic arena in basketball. And we had a gym full, I don't know, we had 25 or 30 kids. And they were going through a drill, a very simple drill. These are young athletes. We were actually mixed between veteran players that have been working out for 3 or 4 years, and we had rookies that have been working out for like 3 or 4 weeks. So we ran the whole spectrum of kind of abilities in terms of how long they've been playing. And so we set up a very simple drill that these kids and most people listening to that know about basketball will say, everybody's done some sort of three-man weave. And all I said was this. I asked them this. I find all this stuff really fascinating and interesting. And we sat there with this group of, let's just say 20 people, 20 young athletes, ranging from fourth grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade. And there are about 20 of them. So we say, hey, we're going to do this. How many do you think we should be able to make in a row? We were going down three-man weave to the other end, and then it was a four-pass weave, and then somebody was doing a layup, and they had to make the layup. So I asked them, what is a reasonable goal for us to make layups in a row? And we ran this range, 5, 15, and 30. Those were, I asked three people. That's what they said. I was like, okay, perfect. You think, this one young athlete said, 30. I was like, okay, you think we should be able to do 30, and you think we should sit here and do this drill until we make 30 in a row? And he said, yes. Another player who's a veteran that's done this for a while, he said, coach, I think we should be able to do 15. Perfect. There was a rookie, coach, I think we should be able to do 5. Like, perfect. Let's do this. He may have said 7, actually. He said 7. So I said, perfect. Let's start on the low end and see how we do. Let's set the goal at 7. And let's see how we do. So we started the drill up. The first three went out. It's just a drill. Three kids do the full length of the floor if you don't know what a three-man weave is. They're going up the floor. Here's the rules. Got to make the layup. Got to use the backboard. And on the passing, the ball can't hit the floor. The only time the ball can hit the floor is on the layup if you need a dribble or two to get to a good angle and to finish the basket. That's it. Other than that, if you're passing ahead on four passes, the ball should not hit the floor, meaning fourth, fifth, and sixth graders should be able to make passes with some degree of length and strength, and the ball shouldn't hit the floor. Those were the only rules. So the first three go out. Ball hits the floor. Second group goes. So that means it's a turnover. It doesn't count. You go. So that doesn't count. So now, but what they're doing when they don't reach their goal, when they mess up and they don't get to seven, we stop, blow the whistle, turnover, stop, and they end up doing a sprint. So they run a down and back, essentially. So now these young kids didn't meet their goal on the first time. I blow the whistle. I say turnover. Ball hit the floor. Everybody runs a down and back. Second group goes. Third group goes. Fourth group goes. Each time the ball hits the floor. So we can't, like, at that point after four tries, we haven't even attempted a layup yet. We haven't even attempted a layup. The ball's hitting the floor. And they're running down and backs. Now everybody's getting a little tired. Okay? Now we start doing layups. So now the fifth or sixth group, they get the layup. They miss it. Down and back. Down and back. Then we start going. Okay? Then I blow the whistle. I was like, all right, catch your breath. Then I just ask them, aren't you glad we didn't come up with 30 as the goal? And they all shake their head. I'm like, gentlemen, we haven't even gotten to one yet. And we're just running. We haven't been able to pass the ball. We haven't even gotten to a layup where we've made one. And they all agree. I was like, five is a reasonable goal. Seven is. Is that something you still want to stick with? Yes, coach, we can do it. Perfect. We go up and down. We actually end up making some layups. But it's interesting. You set the goal. You fail a little bit. All this stuff is fascinating to me about team and dynamics and all this. Some people start arguing. Some people start bickering. Some people started pointing fingers and blaming. So I blow the whistle. I'm like, listen, gentlemen, things are getting harder. You're getting tired. You feel like you're not going to reach your goal. You feel like you're going to be here for a while. You feel like you're not good enough. All this. And you guys all start to fracture. You all start to blame. You all start to point the finger at somebody else other than yourself. You're not communicating as well. You're not trying to find solutions. Here's the deal. Everybody knows you're struggling. Everybody in the gym. The one thing we can't do is fracture from one another on what the objective is and what the goal is and what the plan is. You can't be that person or that player that starts bringing people down or starts blaming or thinks you're better than everybody else. And they're the reason why we're not achieving this goal. I think everybody needs encouragement. I think we need more communication. I think we need more focus. I think we need more pats on the backs. And you can do it. Things of that nature. So all of a sudden the energy in the entire gym starts to change. After we kind of called that out. Now everybody's kind of encouraging. Now they make 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row. I actually got to 6 in a row and then we missed the layup. Okay, then I said this. This went on for a while. And I'm sitting there at the start of the practice going, man, we only have an hour and 15 because youth basketball and access to gyms and all that. We only have an hour and 15. And I'm sitting there running this drill going, this could take an hour and 15 minutes. We are 30 minutes into this drill. And I start thinking about what do I do? What do I do? There's other things to do. So I stop. Now, at least they're encouraging a little bit. And I say, listen, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to just do one thing for you. This line over here. This is actually the line after four passes. This is the line that ends up shooting layups. So, veterans, if you've been around for 3 or 4 years, veterans are in this line. The other lines are passing lines. You guys are going to be the rookies. That's the only adjustment we made. So I suggested this. Guys, gentlemen, you've been given a task. I only gave you a few rules. You need to start strategizing on what you need to do in order to achieve the goal. I've given you no rules other than the fact that the ball can't hit the floor and you've got to make four passes and you've got to use the backboard. I haven't said anything else. You need to problem solve. I would put all the veterans in this line. I would put all the rookies, because all that matters is that we win. It's all that matters is that we reach our goals. However the rules are laid out. Man, coach never said this. Think it through. That's what I would do. All of a sudden they did it. So now we have veterans. We have rookies focusing on their job, their task, and that is to not let the ball hit the floor. We have our veterans all in a line that all, after 4 years, should be able to use the backboard and make a layup. They may have gone back and forth maybe two more times. And then all of a sudden, they did it. After like 40 minutes, they did it. The energy in the room was great. The communication was great. The encouragement was great. The focus on the task was outstanding. They problem-solved to get people the ball that could complete the task and complete the job, and they reached their goal of 7 and probably could have kept going. So, what's that have to do with any of this? Here's what this has to do with adults in the business world. When I was sitting there figuring this out and I was sitting there going, man, this is hard. I didn't think this through. The goal of 7 is difficult. Maybe we should have started with 1. And just celebrated that. But we challenged them. And I'm sitting there going, am I going to be the one to have them quit? Am I going to be the one to say, hey, guys, this is too much. We've got other things to do. We've got to move on. Great effort. We'll try it again next time. But I'm sitting there going, if I do that, and this struck me, and I'm not sure I've heard it kind of framed this way before, it doesn't necessarily, it's not a pat on the back that I'm that original or anything, but I just remember saying it this way, and I wrote it down and I liked it. If I take this away from them and I have them quit, or I have them move on, or I have them say our goals are too high, when actuality they're reasonable. If I do that, this is what I say. This is what I told them. I'm also taking away your celebration. If I have you quit, we don't have the opportunity to celebrate. So when you set your, what's that have to do with us at 46 years old, 47 in a month or two? What's that have to do with us? Man, shit's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. You're working with these teams and you have these goals and objectives and you're just trying to sell things or achieve things in a technical sense, and it's hard and you're trying to strategize. One, keep the energy high. Keep people moving, communicating, and being positive. Let them know they can do it. 2, make sure you understand exactly what the rules are. I just got to get it off the backboard and make 4 passes and the ball can't hit the floor. Figure out what the rules are. They didn't say anything about having veterans in one line and rookies in another. 3, figure out what everybody's role is. Sometimes you're a passer. Sometimes you got to take a job. Maybe you want to be the person making layups. That's cool. I want to make the layups. I want to score. I want to be recognized. I want to be in the newspaper. But sometimes you got to be the passer, because maybe somebody else is better to score. And maybe they're the closer. And that's fine, because the objective is to win. The objective is to reach your goal. So understand the rules. Understand your role. Okay? Understand what the goal is and understand what winning is. Winning to these young athletes was to get 7 in a row and sit there and say, man, this is too hard. We can't do it. When you're sitting there going, I know other fifth graders, I know other development teams, I know other sales teams that can do it. Maybe I don't have the right people in the right lines and I need passers and a layup line and a passing line. Maybe I'm expecting and have high expectations on people that can't do that job. They want to do it, but maybe they can't. Your job as a coach or as a leader or as somebody trying to get that is to say, timeout. Shit, we haven't had a sale in 2 weeks. Man, we haven't accepted stories or we haven't completed stories in a software sense in a week. Well, got the wrong people doing the wrong work. Maybe you should be a passer and you should be a layup guy. Maybe you shouldn't even be on this team. You can't pass or do layups. But here's the thing. Once you figure that all out and you're sitting there saying this is a reasonable goal, this is a reasonable win, this is something that they can do, should do, and will be able to do, then don't let them quit. All that does is take away the celebration. So I didn't let them quit. And I almost did. I almost did. And as we were finishing up and they got to 5 and they got to 6. And when that ball went through at 7 and those young athletes, 30 of them, all jumped up and down and celebrated and high-fived and bumped knuckles and took a deep breath that they didn't have to do any more back and forth or up and down the floors in terms of running and the consequences for not reaching their goal, I would have taken that celebration away as the leader. I would have taken it away from them. I would have sold them out by sitting there saying, you're not good enough. I don't think you can do this. We should have started with a 1. And we'll get to it next time because we don't have time for this right now. You're going to take people's celebration away in the business world? And what? Here's the thing. I hope you celebrate the goal. I hope you celebrate the goal. I hope you sit back and say, you guys did it. You guys crushed it. You guys deserve it. Like, I hope you acknowledge it. I hope you spread it out. I hope that everybody sits there and says, man, the goals we set need to be reachable. They need to be attainable, but they need to be stretch goals. We need to get better. Because you know what we're going to do the next time? 7. We can do that. Can you do 12? Can you do 15? Are you good enough that down the road you can do 30 layups, 3-man weave layups, 30 of them. Something that seemed, hey, I'll tell you what, we went up and down 6 or 7 times and the ball hit the floor every single time and they were running up and down the floor. The athlete that sat there and said, coach, we can do 30. I bet you everybody else in the gym is sitting there saying, man, I'm glad that coach didn't go with that goal. I expect you to sell 100 cars this month. Man, can't I just sell 5? Then 7, then 12, then 15, then 20. Like, you know what I mean? And then you sell the 5, and maybe it's a stretch because you didn't sell one the first week or the second week, but the third week you sold 2, then you sold 3, and you got there, and you're sitting there going, man, I'm glad that we didn't readjust the goals. Maybe we just got the right people in the right layup, right lines for the layups, and maybe we supported you because here's the deal. This is what I believe. That when that final layup went in, that 7th layup went through the basket and it was a perfect pass and it was money and they didn't even hit rim. The person that made the layup wasn't the only one celebrating. I had 20 or 30 kids all celebrating. They all contributed. They all made passes. They all made layups. They were all a part of it and it wasn't the celebration of one person. We did it. And maybe a kid didn't even get to go into a layup line because we did it in 7 straight. Maybe they didn't, but they felt like they did. They felt like, man, we did it because if he had missed that layup, I'd be running. So if I'd be running and I'd have to deal with the consequences of not winning and not reaching the goal, then I'm sure as heck going to be celebrating the win. Even though maybe I wasn't a big contributor. All that is life. All that is what I want our young athletes that we work out to understand that it's not about basketball. That drill had nothing to do with basketball. That drill had everything to do with them figuring out what the rules are, what strategies are, how to communicate, how to remain positive, how to celebrate, that they can crush their goals and achieve them. And all that with 9, 10, and 11-year-old young athletes is the same thing we're trying to do with our professional teams in the marketplace. All of them. We just got done with a sprint in the software world, two weeks worth of work. And we did something that team's never done before. And at the start of the sprint, they said they couldn't. They can't was the word. We can't do this. That was said. Now, here's the thing that you really got to learn yourself, who you are, being very, very self-aware of who you are. I'll tell you this. My blood, because I observed this in myself, my body composition or whatever you want to call it, when we were doing some things this past week with our team and somebody said, I can't, we can't. I don't know in a professional environment if I've ever had my blood go to 100 as quick as that when that comment was done. And we addressed it. Because you can't be you're not going to take away the celebration when you can. It's reasonable. You can. And by saying you can, like in the layup line, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th time, running down and backs, being punished for it, the consequences, rookies and veterans and people that can, all this sort of stuff. And you have, what if you had one of your best players? Coach, this is ridiculous. We can't do it. There's no way we can do that. Yeah, it's going to be hard. But I also know this. That player just told 20 people they can't do it. That one person on your team just told everybody else on the team that they can't do something. Instead of, coach, timeout. Listen, fellas, this is brutal. And I'm glad we only have to get to 7. But we can do this. What we need to do is maybe have a line with the people that have been here for a while so they can make the layup. And let's put the rookies, me included, we'll be over here making sure we do really good passes. Because we can do this, gentlemen. Guys, we can do this. It may take us some time, but let's just try to be as upbeat, as positive, as encouraging, because we can. Because when we do, we're going to celebrate like champions, which is the phrase we use. Let's celebrate like champions. But man, you have that one person that's going to sit there and say, coach, we can't. This is ridiculous. Or the body language gets back. I'm telling you, man, it's all like, listen, this is not just about basketball. And I'm glad I had no idea this was the story I was going to tell. But I am looking down at my notes right now, and there's a law number 16, law 16 of John Maxwell, 21 indefutable, irrefutable laws of leadership. The law of momentum. And I'll tell you what, momentum's, it says right here, quote John Maxwell, momentum is a leader's best friend. I'll tell you this, nothing creates momentum more than reaching goals and winning and knowing you can do it. And knowing that you are capable, and knowing you're on the right team, and knowing you have the right strategies, and knowing that you're allowed to fail and mess up and learn. Nothing creates momentum more than that, than a win. Our team just did something that they've never done before. Unfortunately, that game, quote unquote, double quotes, that game is over. And we won. And actually, we won big. But now we've got a new game to play, and that game started today. We've got to coach them up. We've got to figure out, even though we won big, like we won big last week. Huge. The best they've ever done. But we've got to sit back and figure out things that happened during that sprint that we could get better at. That time, that 2 weeks. Like, hey, guys, hey, you just sold 20 cars. There has to be a couple things we can do better. Because that 20 cars we sold is really like we're capable of 25. You got me? Yes, coach. Yes, sir. Yes, boss. Yes, we're capable of more. So let's figure out what we can get better at. And let's not sit back because the new game has started. But that's momentum. Momentum is a leader's best friend. Momentum only stays around as long as you have growth. Growth. So here's the thing. I love this stuff. Love it. I hope you're as juiced up about this as I am. We're 29 minutes in, which means we only have about 5 minutes left, and I've got to hustle out because I am on, we're time boxed with this stuff now. But let me tell you, let me say this again and see if you get the goosebumps I do. Because I'm telling you right now, how this originally started 29 minutes ago was this. There's nothing better professionally than working with a team and having them get out of this I can't and we won't and we're not capable to all of a sudden crushing goals and winning whatever the win is. A sprint, if you're technical, a sale, an amount of sales, whatever it is, and sitting there saying, shit, we're really good at this and look at where we were. Because I can show this team where they were. And I can show them what they just kicked butt at. and sitting around now going, man, we are capable. We are capable. We can do this. We can be the best around. But this is the thing. Momentum only stays around as long as you have growth. And how do you have growth? By reaching your goals, by being consistent with your outcomes and consistent with your rituals and habits and routines and sitting there going, man, if we just do this, 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 and this and get better and try to be A pluses at all that, then we're going to grow. We're going to get better. We're going to reach our goals. We're going to get our wins. And now we have growth. I'm telling you what, we're riding the wave of momentum right now, and we've got to continue to ride it. But we as leaders need to sit there and acknowledge their growth and the goals and the wins. Hey, you did this. We acknowledge that. Hey, we were about to have another really good sprint, if you know what that is. We were about to have a really good sprint, a good sprint. I'm not into really good. I'm just telling you. Like, I'm into the best we can possibly be, and really good is just really good. Especially when you're looking at the landscape of your team and saying, we're capable of great. We're capable of better. We're capable of being the best team and group and individuals in this entire company. That's my perspective. We're capable of that. And so we've got to sit there and not be satisfied. It was good, but we were about to have a good sprint. And we could have hung our hat. We could have gone into meetings. We could have looked at charts and graphs. And we could have sat there and said, whew, man, that's a lot better than we used to be. That's awesome. And knuckle out with everybody and just slap each other on the back and go to a happy hour and say, man, that was good. But we had a few people that said, we could be great. We're capable of more. So instead of stopping, we had a few people that actually grinded it out late last night, early this morning, and made it great. Made it great, which made it great for everybody. 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 30 adults, 30 people with a team across the globe in India made it great for everybody. Because then the acknowledgement comes out. Then you, listen, yeah, that's good enough. Coach, 7's a goal, 5's good enough. Because 30 minutes ago, we couldn't even do 1 or 2. Now, we're up to 5, coach. That's cool. That's good enough. But we said we were going to do 7. Yeah, 5's good. 5's good, coach. We said we were going to do 7. So let's do everything we can until we get to 7. And body language may change and attitude may change and you correct it on the spot. But the reality is when that ball goes through on the 7th one, and whether that be 11 o'clock at night because somebody's working hard to get the 7th layup in, everybody celebrates. So when it's sitting in the morning and a director walks into your office and acknowledges everybody in the room for how great you are and the improvement you have, and you're sitting there going, yeah, I'm glad we got to 7 layups. I'm glad we didn't stop at 5. And I'm glad we just didn't want to be okay. Now you got to be consistent. But I'll tell you what, we had great growth. We've had great growth on our group and our team. We had great growth with 11-year-olds doing layups in a matter of 45 minutes. What great growth. Momentum. If I called that drill again on Thursday night when we do our workouts and I said our goal was 10, they know they could do it. And you know what they learned? Stay positive. Understand the rules. Put all the people in that can make layups in one line and the passers in another line. And then with time, you can become a layup person with time. Keep working. If that's the skill, responsibility, and role you want to have to be making layups, put in the work. But right now, your role is that because that gives us the best chance to win. It's no different with 11-year-old basketball players doing a silly little 3-man weave than it is with 47-year-old people running software teams or sales teams. And I hope this resonated with you. I didn't think that was the way I was going to go. I am on a time crunch with some of this. I've actually really enjoyed this episode. Episode 136, three-man weave, four passes, got to make seven in a row. Title of the podcast, got to make seven in a row. Don't take away as a leader the celebration your team can have. And I almost did. And I would have sold those kids out. And it's the same way of sitting around saying, 100 points on this sprint or five sold cars, that's good enough, coach. No, our goal was 150 points and we're selling nine cars because you're capable. Because we will work together. It's not on you. It wasn't one person celebrating on the seventh layup. It was 40 of them, 30 of them. Right? It was 30 kids celebrating on the seventh layup. When we reached our goal this morning with our team, it was 40 people, adults, celebrating, being acknowledged and recognized for their work and their improvement and their commitment to what they were said they would get done. The goal was a certain amount for this group, and they could have sold it out, and they nailed it. Celebrate it. Don't take away the celebration from your people. Let them struggle. But see how they struggle. That's another podcast episode. Recognize the struggle and coach them. Lead them. Right in my book here, I'm not going to be able to find it, but essentially said that, hey, a leader is needed when things are the worst. Leaders are needed when things are the worst. Here's the other thing. I'm going to leave you with this. I don't know. I'm guessing this came from John Maxwell. Man, we get going, and I've got meetings coming up that I got to get to, but I'm super pumped about this and doing these podcasts. But here's I want to leave you with this. I'm sure this is Maxwell. You will never, this is his quote, you will never have team chemistry in your organization if everyone is not committed to the same standard, the same goal, the standard of winning. We're going to win. And maybe here's four, five, six, seven standards that we need to do, habits, rituals, routines, tactics, strategies that we need to do on a daily basis to in order to get our win. And everybody's got to have the same level of commitment to those standards. Otherwise, you're not going to win. Otherwise, five layups is good enough. Because if the goal is seven and five is good enough, how are we going to get to 12? How are we going to get to 30 when the young athlete raises his hand and says, Coach, we can get 30. You know what? We can. Absolutely. I'm glad you set that goal of 30 because we can. We're not there now. Right now we're at 7. Next week we're at 12. But the standard of good enough, you will never have team chemistry in your organization if everyone is not committed to the same standard. Raise the bar, raise your standards. That is my word for the year. Phrase for the year, it's not really a word. Phrase for the year is to raise my standards in everything I do. Personal, professional, parenting, community, friends, girlfriend, everything. I want to, listen, I'm coaching young athletes and this word gets thrown around a lot and I'm fine to use it, but those kids want to be elite and I want to help them be elite. How can I help them be elite? How can I help the professional team that I'm working with my job? How can I help that team become elite? Elite. Where people look around and say, you want something done? You want something to get through the pipeline? You want this product or service done? Oh, you need to have that team. You need to have those people. Those people are elite. The Green Berets. They're the Navy SEALs. That's them. How can we? You know what the number one thing is? Man, we've just got to raise, change, adjust our standards. And I want to do that personally. And that's why it's my phrase of the year that everything I do, I've got to figure out how I can just raise my standards on everything. So the first thing I'm going to do to raise my standards is get to meetings on time, which I have here shortly. Listen, I hope you've had a great start to your new year. It's the third week of January, I believe, right now. I hope you've had a great run. But listen, like January's almost over. It's like January 21st, 2nd. It's almost over. Right? So you're like 1/12 done. Like, raise your standards. Get your team going. Celebrate the wins. Challenges are going to come. Coach them through it. roles, responsibilities, encouragement, communication, you know, strategies. Put those guys in that line. Let them be the one to score. It doesn't matter. I just want to win. Listen, get out of your cube. I'm going to shout out to our sponsor again, Polaris Solutions. We talk about raising your standards. You talk about being great. You talk about being surrounded by great people that will care about you, your product and services, and help you get there. Reach out to Polaris Solutions. They're the best. And I know because I know those people, and there's nobody better around the Midwest. So listen, have a great rest of your week. Get out of your cubicle. Let us know. Let me know. Reach out to me on LinkedIn, how we can help. Any conversation you want to have about team development, personal development, anything that you want to tell me that I could incorporate into my life, into my habits, my rituals, and my routines, please let me know. Listen, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I love hearing from you. Take care. Get out of your cube. We'll be right back.